With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to One for the Weekend, the best podcast you've never heard of. Calm Takes. I'm going to keep that going.
That's good.
Last week, What is it? Calm Take is it's not a hot take. It's offering a bit of calm to
measure.
The world. A bit of measure, yeah. A bit of calm. Konrad Ostrowski stepping up this week. Calm Take. Sarri is a decent manager and Chelsea will probably be okay. It takes time to implement a system like his and they've generally been good this season. While hard scoring losses to Man City and Bournemouth have blown it out of proportion. A calm take from Konrad there. Do you agree with Konrad? Let us know in the comments below.
I do not agree with Konrad.
Do you not?
No.
You're not going to give him that? That's interesting.
No, I mean like, no, it's fair enough.
Is he a decent manager? Let's break this down. Sorry, is he a decent manager?
Yes, so far he's had an excellent career.
Hasn't won anything is the thing they'll throw at him.
Yeah, but he's a fucking bank manager. Doesn't know how to win until he wins, does he? Does that make sense?
Not really. You're so used to fighting that hasn't won a trophy argument that you're just
hard to defend anyone.
Jolting into it, yeah.
He done great with Empoli. He did amazing with Napoli.
Did well with
although Napoli. Someone did make the point the other day, I can't remember what it was, but the second best team in Italy finished second in the Italian league under Sarri. With the players and staff, they should have at least.
Well, they got close, didn't they?
Kind of, but ended up about 7 points behind by the end, I think.
Mm.
There's a number of things wrong with him. He looks weird. He looks like an absolute tramp. Sorry. Homeless. He looks homeless. he smokes a weird cigarette butt, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's like, just fucking have a vape or something. No, you can't even do that, can you? And he's somehow managed to break Kante. Which is impossible because he's so good. He's just playing him out of position. And the weird substitutions. These are the things, like replacing like-for-like players when you're trying to change the game. Didn't they have, they had a striker on the bench, I don't remember who it was Giroud, when they were losing, and he bought on Zappa Costa for the fullback they had on.
What, recently?
Yeah, against Man United.
Was it Emerson they might have brought on? Yeah, well, I mean...
And it's like, what, you know... Well, it's all of those things. And, you know, Chelsea, they're used to getting things their own way.
Very good point, Flam. Thank you for your calm take, Konrad. If you have a calm take, last week we had Aaron Ramsey and I offered up a calm take for the fact that, of course, he's making good money because he's run down his contract. That's how it works. That was my calm take. This was Conrad's calm take. If you've got one, let us know in the comments below. That said, we will be talking about this. Are Chelsea in crisis? Yeah. Later in the podcast. But before that,
yes,
and we'll also talk about the EFL Cup final, of course, Chelsea versus Man City and Man United versus Liverpool, which is a very big, 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 big game as well.
And
what? Oh, what? Other things.
Are you forgetting something?
What?
He's forgetting something, isn't he? That's not the agenda, is it?
No, there's so much stuff on here. It's ridiculous. We'll get an update, huh?
What other bits is there?
Let's have a bitch,
yeah. What other talking points are there?
Other talking points? I've got... Hang on, let me find them all. I've got... Well, those are two big games.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
What are you missing, Jim?
Free from the community?
No. What are you missing, Jim?
What am I missing?
Something very personal to you, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, what happened on Friday last week? Come and list it. Come on.
Thing is, mate, it's not even that.
What?
It's not even that one game, which I'm gutted about.
It's the six you've lost previous to it.
QPR lost to Watford. Undeserved. think we can all agree.
Were you actually trying to get through this podcast without mentioning QPR losing?
You hadn't brought it up before we got here. I thought I might be able to get away with it. Do you know what is so shit? Right? This is so crap, right? This is my life. So first of all, we have... So the Friday game, okay, before the Friday game, I watched QPR go 4-0 down, bring it back to 4-3, get a 94th minute penalty to make it 4-4, missed it.
Yeah.
We missed that penalty. So that's a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I try and be positive. I try and move forward. We've got Watford. We're still in the FA Cup. This is exciting. It's a doable. It's a winnable game.
Mm.
We played well.
You're talking about Wembley as well, weren't you?
They had one shot, pretty much. And it was like, it was from a corner where the ball just like dropped about and then Capoue had a little snapshot and it goes in.
Would you say QPR were the better team?
I would say that. I thought we did really well.
Are you still very much, you've got to go now, haven't you? There's nothing left to play for.
Well.
Brentford are above you again.
And then, right, that's not the end of it though, right? So I've had that game, then I've got the heartbreak of the FA Cup, which is very annoying.
Mm.
Then we've got a game on Tuesday night.
Against who?
Against West Brom, we played. And it's one of those where you go...
Oh, you've played them already?
Well, we played them on Tuesday.
Well, what was that result?
Well, wait. Played them on Tuesday and I'm already like, oh. Like, some midweek games, you're just like motivation's low. It's been a tough week.
Yeah.
Been a tough couple of games. 1-0 down after a couple of minutes. 1-1. Come on, right. Lads. Come on, lads.
Come on, lads.
2-1 down after a ridiculous mistake from Joel Lynch.
Yeah.
2-2.
2-2.
Bossed the second half. 5 minutes to go, best player gets injured. We've made our three subs, so now we've only got 10 men. So now we're backs against the wall. What happens in the 94th minute?
I don't know.
They fucking scored.
Oh, mate, football.
So again, we lose in the
last
minute.
Who scored the goal? I know it now, because I saw it in the paper.
Livermore.
That's payback.
Payback? What? To me? For what?
That's payback for you goading me last week about Spurs not being in the FA Cup. Yeah. Jake Livermore.
What was he saying last week? All of our league defeats. It's just because we're focusing on the FA Cup.
Now what have you got? Brentford. Let's order the stick you've been giving to Adam. Shame he's not here anymore because they're above you in the league again.
And we got them next week.
Oh.
Just sorry, but yeah, we got.
Have you lost six of the last seven?
And we got Borough. We got Borough. Then Leeds next Tuesday. Then Brentford. We'll be fine.
Any manager that's won six, lost six on the bounce. You got to start asking questions.
There's
go.
A wider
McLaren's
context.
Got to go.
I had this argument with Rory about Chelsea and QPR and the difference. And of course, yes, they've got...
Jim, I've got Ad on the phone.
Have you?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Nice. Ad.
Are you serious?
Ad, you're on the pod. Is there anything you want to say to Jim after you've gone above him in the league?
I just want to say, mind the gap, Jim.
Fuck's sake.
All right.
Come on, peace!
Shit, little box.
All right, I've got a ticket to the Brentford game. So if you see me, walk the other way.
Huh?
He said he's got a ticket for the Brentford game. If you see him, walk the other way.
Yeah, you'll see, mate.
All right.
Yeah,
mate.
Later.
Later, mate.
It's in. Good to see Tanvir and Adam talking again after what happened the other week.
Yeah. Adam planned a drink up. And Tanvir went, go and gym.
Can't be asked.
They were best friends once.
Were best friends.
Good momentum going
in. Tanvir said this, and I quote, it's funny, isn't it? We were like best mates, and now we don't even talk to each other. Mm. She said that yesterday. Tanvir on the ones and twos.
Maybe
welcome
you weren't
back.
Best mates, it was just convenience that he's there.
True.
Maybe.
Tanvir on the ones and twos. We'll be testing Tanvir in literally a minute and a half. But first, reasons to listen. So first of all, we will get an update from the guy last week who was telling us about the situation with the girl and the gay best friend.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is about whether he's going to be doing
the
bumming or the bummy. He's going to be the bummy.
That was us that came up with that.
All
he,
right,
he
yeah.
Didn't know
that was, yeah, we put
the man.
Three together. And also, reviews on iTunes. So go subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And we've been undone by our own community here.
Why?
Because we basically said, look, give us a rating, 5-star rating, write down anything, we'll pretty much say it, we'll pretty much read it out.
Yeah.
So we've got one hell of a review here, which I'm almost like proud of our community because they've undone us here. But like, I feel like we should stick to it.
I literally don't know what you're talking about.
I'm about to reveal it all, Flav.
I'm curious, a bit fearful.
Well, that was the point.
And excited.
That's lovely. Brought it back, well done. Okay, so this is the review that we've got, and this could be... interesting. See, so head over to iTunes, leave us a review, and you could go down the same road as this person, who I don't know what their name is. Right, so the headline is, soon to be the greatest podcast you would have heard of. And this is his review of the One for the Weekend podcast. The One for the Weekend podcast is an astounding ballad of metrosexual journeys blended with a steel passion of the working class male. Right. The two hosts, Jake and Gav, are the combination of what dreams are made of. Jake is an interesting, Jake is an interesting, intelligent, and inconspicuous character who just grabs your attention like a controversial headline. A Chelsea fan since 2003, but has a wide knowledge of football, you'll be sure to learn something new. Then there's Gav, a ball of happiness and love. Gav lives for two things, Arsenal and the Sun newspaper. With aspirations to write for The Sun, Gav often brings a great insight to modern football.
This is incredible.
And is able to make news and information easily digestible for the followers of this great podcast.
Right, that's great. Is he finished?
No.
Right.
Not only that, but his excitable personality will really light up the gloomiest of days. Now, let me get started on the bits featured on the pod. My personal favourite is the bit called Footballers Thangs, where each week followers will send in their stories of when they've seen an ex-pro or current footballer bite a member of the public. This is an incredibly fun and inclusive part of the pod, as there are so many incredible stories shared each week. Another fantastic bit is called Twinkles. This is where Jake hits on Gav for 10 or so minutes, and it leaves Gav confused, and with just the look of a soft, frightened face is enough to have me rolling on the floor laughing. I'm aware I've rambled on a bit here, but I can't explain to you my love for this excellent content. Please give the pod a go. You won't regret it. Hashtag fuck white teeth. Went too far at the end there.
No, that's cool, man. That was very funny and very good.
I like a twist on a review. So anyone who's watching this for the very first time thinks my name's Jake, thinks your name's Gav.
But the problem with iTunes reviews is that no one reads them, do they? You don't look through a podcast and go, let me read some reviews and find a new podcast. Someone goes, you listen to this podcast, it's good. So, like, thanks for your efforts for that. It's good, made me laugh a bit. But if you really want to help, tell someone to listen to it.
Okay. Last week, we asked you which drink is the best drink to listen to the podcast to.
Flat white.
Someone was talking about Black Americano, medium roast. Some people liked Vimto, because we were saying how we loved Vimto. Some people said water. One guy said Prosecco and Caribbean Crush. And Naresh Lal said, this podcast would be good with any drink. So that's another reason to listen or watch. Tanvir's on the ones and twos. We will test Tanvir right this second. How are you, Tanvir?
I'm doing good.
Tanvir has no footballing knowledge. Doesn't know about any players.
So much so that we're trying to find high-level players. And there's loads. And he didn't know who Andrei Kanchelskis was.
Andrei Kanchelskis?
Yeah.
He's at Man United.
What was your reason? What makes it okay again?
basically, it's like,
don't be nervous.
Why would I waste my time going all the way back when it's not going to change anything in my life now? I'd rather think about the weekend and like just watch some TV. Or something.
Yeah, that is dangerous millennial thinking.
Yeah, it is. Let's just concentrate on the now and not obsess over the past. Yeah, where he's right though, it doesn't.
There's an element of truth.
Like, it's not going to change my day anyway, unless I'm doing like a Sporkle quiz.
Do you ever, like, I get what he's coming from. He's like saying, actually, football's a little bit sad, isn't it? It's sad. It's geeky.
Yeah, like, it's the most
socially acceptable. It's like Warhammer, but socially acceptable.
Yeah, you are allowed to be a bit nerdy when it comes to football. And actually, like, if you know something really far fetched, people are like.
But I'm not even talking about the geeks. I'm talking about anyone who goes and watches football. All of it's a little bit,
I'm not sure that's what I was.
Look, it is. It's like you go to football and you're watching men play a game, and you sing songs with other men and women, and there's no point to it. It's just constantly revolving. There's never any ultimate winner.
No.
It's always changing, and it never fails to let you down, but you still go anyway, like some sort of abused, don't you?
Your weekend starts right here with the One for the Weekend podcast. Enema of the States asked this, Tanvir. Checking in.
What is an enema?
I don't know.
When I was a runner, I had to go out and buy an enema for a show I worked on.
Why?
It was so awkward.
Was it the one with Richard Blackwood?
No, it was the one with Peaches Geldof.
Did she do it?
She didn't do it.
An enema basically clears out your ass, your the inner workings of your body, gets all the fecal matter out. And lots of porn stars have them so that when they do anal sex, you don't get everywhere. God bless them, because I wouldn't want
to
see that.
Good luck to them. Yeah, it was horrible. It was so awkward. I had to go to like pharmacies and stuff, and I was like, this isn't for me, just to be clear. I gave this really long intro. Because they must get this all the time, doesn't they? They must be like, just tell me what you want. Like, I've seen it all. But I'm like, so I'm a runner on this program, and we've got this item.
But the thing is, with the way you look, it could well be, could have been relevant for you.
Could it? Checking in, Danish lad here. Just want to hear if Tanvir knows some of the most iconic Danish footballers.
Danish footballers.
Right. So does Tanvir know Peter Schmeichel?
Yeah, Man United goalkeeper.
Well done.
Well chucked.
Yeah. So this guy, brackets, maybe one of the best players of all time. Michael Laudrup. That's Michael Laudrup. Do you know who he is? Who did he play for? What position did he play?
He doesn't know.
I don't know any of those things.
Michael Laudrup. Brian Laudrup?
No, but I have a
brother.
That's probably his son.
His son?
It's his brother.
Fuck me.
He melts.
Either
Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah, he's played at Arsenal.
Well done. Daniel Agger.
No.
And last one, Lee Tell Knowledge. Lethal Knowledge.
No.
No? Don't know him.
Lethal Knowledge.
For fuck's sake. Right, big fixtures this week.
I told you that wouldn't work.
It didn't work.
I said, no,
he doesn't know. He doesn't know him. He doesn't know him, Lethal Knowledge.
Because he isn't real, right? So.
So you made that. Someone else.
You fucking had him there.
No.
That worked.
That did not work.
Let me know in the comments. That bloody worked. I got him there. Lethal Knowledge.
But he's not.
That was good. You know? And you've ruined
that.
No,
I haven't
ruined
it. You
totally rumbled that.
But what did you expect people to do?
Hashtag lethal knowledge worked. Hashtag lethal knowledge didn't
you
work.
You said lethal.
So that's not a player. I just made that up, Tablet.
What?
See, it worked.
I'm
bad. Didn't work.
Right. Yeah. I don't know who you're on about.
Let's talk about the football. Come on now. So, finally, don't know how to say this to you guys. Was having a look at the fixtures. And the responses to my tweet weren't good enough. They weren't funny enough. I'm about standards here. It needs to be funny if we're going to do the derby games, and they weren't funny.
There's no derbies. We're
having a week off. There's no few derbies.
No derbies.
Man United versus Liverpool. Is that a derby? It's not, is it? It's just that there's a huge rivalry.
In their heads, it's a big game.
We're going to talk, because the games this weekend is Man United versus Liverpool, then it's Man City versus Chelsea.
Can I just say something? I never thought there was a media agenda. I never thought there was one. I thought every fan of a single club thinks that there's a media agenda against their club.
Liverpool. Getting emotional.
Yeah. Liverpool got a 0-0 draw against Bayern Munich.
Great result.
Right? And you know they do a player ratings. So out of 10 each player, 11 players, 110 points in total. Liverpool, for their 0-0 draw against Bayern Munich, scored a total of 73 out of 110 if you combined all of their player ratings.
Okay.
Spurs, who beat Dortmund 3-0, dominated them, crushed them,
right.
72.
Wow.
Out of 110.
Interesting.
How can, in the same newspaper, what are they, what, how can that be?
What, so you think the media?
I don't know.
Do you know what, so I'm going to chuck in disappointing headlines really early here because we kind of have this as well and it was what I wanted to kind of talk about this because I think it is interesting. So the BBC Scotland have had a dispute with Rangers since 2015. So BBC Scotland haven't gone to, basically, they have to report Rangers games, but they haven't gone to the ground. They haven't been to Ibrox since 2015 because a BBC journalist, who I think is a Celtic fan, said something that Rangers weren't happy with, and there's been a dispute there, and so they banned them. Yeah, yeah. And they've been trying to move forward with it. But Stuart Robertson, who's the managing director of Rangers, has come out and basically said that BBC sports scene, they're being sort of trialled by a sports scene, and there's a media agenda within the BBC against Rangers. And so one thing in particular was about Morelles, who's a striker for Rangers. They concentrate, in the old firm game, they concentrated on his actions and basically dug him out. And the Stuart Robson doesn't think that was balanced. Mm. And so they're now kind of, BBC have come back and go, our editorial is neutral and fair. And I found that whole situation in Scotland is fascinating, that the BBC, who I think, when you think, in terms of brand value, BBC has a very strong brand value. They'll be almost quite independent. They'll
probably have the best brand value in the world.
Yeah. Yet they, and Celtic fans maybe, the boy, what's he called? Yeah, the boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Celtic fan and he's a smart guy. Maybe he can let us know on this one. Celtic, the fact that BBC have gone, we're going to back our journalist, instead of going like BBC in England with Dan Roan. I think he had a similar thing at might be Man City and they banned him. But the BBC still went there. They just didn't have that journalist go there.
Yeah,
but the fact that BBC are picking the journalist over Rangers, yeah, when it's a tax-paid thing, I find that whole thing fascinating. But the broader point, I want to get to, which fits with what you were just saying there, is how much power the media and these pundits have on how the talking points for the rest of the week, or even during the middle of the week, these high-profile footballers and pundits, the bias that they have can then lead to this whole idea on a team or a player. I think it's really come into focus in this last year with the Raheem Sterling stuff and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
But the media controls every talking point on every facet of society. That's why they're so powerful, and that's why it's so much responsibility, and that's why it's alarming when you have owners like Murdoch who have a particular agenda they want to perpetuate. Then you're just the essentially you have these massive media conglomerates, newspapers with a huge amount of influence controlling the way people think, who gets elected, immigration policy, foreign policy. And
do you think so Raheem Sterling scored the winner and all the headlines are, you know, great for him. And he tweeted that some of those pictures out going, wow, I need to take a screenshot of this because it might not happen again. And so it shows that whereas in previous generations, you couldn't kind of have that impact. The whole Raheem Sterling thing, from everyone's response to what he put out there, and the fact that he had the ability to put out what he did in that Instagram post, a few months back, he's now seeing like better headlines. Maybe. I mean, maybe I'm putting two and two together.
No, you're not. They will. There would be a complete consciousness about how they report Sterling now.
And apparently, with Rangers, the next time on after all this had happened, the next game, the highlights of it, you had the Rangers player kind of, they'd obviously had a word with them and said, the Rangers guy was going, oh, I'm not sure if this was a penalty to Rangers or not. And the guy who didn't have that Rangers bias or that Rangers background was going, yeah, no, I think it was a penalty because they're trying to kind of bring that neutrality to it.
Or you're just conscious of it and that they would have said that anyway. So you don't know
100%. Maybe. But it's interesting how things will get sort of put out to the wider world. But actually, it all comes back to one or two individuals a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that's happening in the Premier League this season? Do you think that's happening with Liverpool?
Probably not. I don't know. It was just...
You're just pushing your agenda, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You're just pushing your fucking agenda.
Well, all agenda. Look, no one could... No BBC journalist, doesn't matter who they are, and the BBC can't, and it's unfair and incorrect for them to say that they have no bias or agenda because it's run by human beings and every single one is dominated by what they want, absolutely what they want. And just going back to that thing in Scotland, the Steve Clarke this week, yesterday in fact, came out and it was being called a Fenian bastard by Rangers fans. And
no, go on.
Well,
I mean, I'm not saying anything.
No,
and out of that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, let's not. I don't, that's bad. And you know, I don't know enough about the subject in order to comment on how bad that is. I just don't know, right? But when I was listening to TalkSport, and Jim White was going fucking crazy about this, he was like saying, I will not stand for this. This is unacceptable. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is what.
Jim White being hyperbolic.
Yeah, yeah, true. But this is what's got your goat. Like, all the fucking stuff that's happening in the world, and this is where you draw the line. I hate, what's fucked me off more than anything over the last year or two is the outrage. Everybody's outraged by fucking everything. I'm offended. I don't like what you've just said to me. Then fucking do something. about it. That's your responsibility to do something about it. But it's just like, oh, let's throw someone under the bus. Like this, this girl, what's her name? The girl got like abducted by ISIS or influenced. And then
I don't know her name. Do you want to find out?
No, not really. On
Jemima Bacon.
Yeah.
Jemima.
Why is so many people are going mental about this? They're going crazy about this when it doesn't impact your life one bit. She's not going to come over here and blow you up. So why is everyone just so angry?
Because everyone feels they have a... So it's gone from having a right to an opinion to almost kind of you need to have an opinion to stay in the conversation to keep everything moving.
Yeah. I it's my fault for having Twitter. It's my fault. I could turn the fucker off.
Yeah, true. And I think that people feel a pressure to display their opinions or whatever, like, all the time. Or same with Instagram. It's the same kind of thing.
So I
stay out of it.
You're right. I sent a tweet about Brexit the other day. Because I didn't vote in Brexit because I didn't understand what I was voting for. And someone responded and went, you abstained with a face on the hand palm. Like, I was wrong for not voting in something that I didn't understand. I was wrong because I didn't vote because that we ended up voting Leave. But it's my fault because I didn't understand what I was voting for. It's just fucking people. People, innit?
People. Anyway, football.
But yeah, what a cracking weekend of action we've got this Sunday. Man United versus Liverpool. Man United have won... I'll just give you a second and run through some stats while she calms down. Man United have won 7 of their last 9 home league matches against Liverpool. That is a good record. I know you don't like the stats.
Man United?
That is a mad record.
I've got another stat for you.
Go on.
It's not a stat, it's a fact. Fact.
Which is a stat.
Yeah, kind of. If Man United beat Liverpool...
Oh, yeah.
Jimbo! It's in Spurs' hands!
Hello.
For the Premier League trophy.
Huh?
Listen to me.
Yeah.
If Man United beat Liverpool, if they do, all Spurs have to do is win every single game.
Easy.
And the Premier League trophy is ours.
Yeah.
So what's that?
That said, we were looking at this, what was his name? Oh, there's a guy called Nate something or other, and he's like renowned for being a statistician that can like predict things and predicted like presidential election and stuff. I think he's got a website called 538. He says that, so Man City currently have 47% chance of winning the title right now. And Liverpool have, I think it was, I might be getting this wrong, 57%, something like that. Spurs got 1% chance of winning the league. Because I think it's because of the teams that you've still got to play. Got to play
1%.
A lot of teams. Seems harsh though, doesn't it? It seems a bit unfair.
I'm just saying.
Especially when it's in your own hands, or could be in your own hands. But
if Man United beat Liverpool, it's in our hands. We just have to beat Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool away, Man City away, and then win all the other games as well.
Yeah, plus you've got Champions League games to contend with as well.
And the Champions League.
Let's concentrate on these two teams.
What percentage
for a
second. Yeah, all right.
Come on.
That guy's a dick.
Okay. Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
His goal against Chelsea on Monday, it was his 9th in 16 games since Solskjaer's arrived. And his cross for Herrera's header was his 7th assist.
He's a great player.
He's got him going, hasn't he? Solskjaer at the wheel seems to be the phrase that everyone's chucking out there.
Got to give him the job.
Yeah. I wonder. Oh, hang on. Agenda again. Whiff of agenda there. If he wins this game, that's it, innit? You have to give it to him. You have to give it to him.
Do you want him to give the job now?
Is there any Man United fan that would be brave enough to go, I don't think he's the right guy?
Yeah, they want Pochettino.
They still want Pochettino.
More experienced, like,
of course. Yeah. Of course. You're going to want what Pochettino over Molde's Solskjaer.
Molde there. What is experience, Tanvir?
Well, you get someone like Poch.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then who can actually build a team, build a proper team for like to play against PSG or whatever in Champions League games?
Has Pochettino got the same, there's elements of experience that Solskjaer has that Pochettino doesn't have?
Pochettino won things as a player. That's what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Solskjaer won things.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he played for, who did he play for? PSG. Okay, fair enough. That is a big club. That's true. But at that time, they weren't doing that great. Yeah, but.
What are you saying? You're saying Solskjaer is a better manager than Pochettino?
No, I'm saying he might be a better fit. Hot take from Olcott.
And he's free. He's free.
He's cheap as anything.
He's not free. We'll have to pay for him.
How much do you reckon you have to pay Moldy? How much do you reckon you'd have to pay?
Like
100 grand?
No, we'd have
They'd
to
bite
pay,
your hands off
pay,
for that.
We'd have to pay into the millions for him.
You'd have to pay £45 million.
The thing I would say with Solskjaer...
And do you know what this is? What else, right? It's the arrogance of Man United fans. Oh, we don't want Solskjaer because we're going to take Pochettino. He doesn't want to come to your football club. He said it a couple of times.
Yeah. Listen. He says everything there, doesn't he?
If Man United come calling, Pochettino...
He'll contradict himself like 6 times in a press conference. So I don't know why you're taking anything he says.
But hang on, Tammy. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
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 What do you want? What do you want? It's that notebook. What do you want?
What do you want?
I love that film.
I'll take top 4.
Oh, will you?
Fucking hell. We beat Liverpool.
This same guy, stats guy, says your chances of being in the Champions League next season, top 4.
Yeah.
25%, something like that. Low. He's got you finishing 6th.
Finishing 6th? Fuck this guy. He's
a fucking prick.
That's amazing. What do you want? You want Solskjaer or do you want Pochettino?
If Solskjaer...
If he wins this game, that means he's beating Spurs, he's beating Chelsea, he's beating Arsenal.
I reckon if we still had the chance to get Poch, I'd take Poch.
You can't mug Solskjaer off like this. Like he's at some point, you've got to give him the respect and give him the job.
The thing that annoys me is the experience thing. People going, oh, he's kind of not been there and done it. Because actually, sometimes it's not... You've got to give people an opportunity to get the experience.
Yeah.
And with Solskjaer...
He had a horrible job at Cardiff.
Put most managers in that job and you're going to struggle a little bit. Look, at Mould... thing with Mould, there is an element of that which does move across to Man United because you are... That is the biggest club in Norway. And so there is a pressure that comes with that.
What is Man United?
No, at Mould.
Mould are the biggest club in Norway.
Yeah. So when you go there, although it's on a much smaller scale, what are you laughing at?
I mean...
You're so patronising.
This Sunday League club's bigger than Mould.
No, but look, the point is, it's a professional football club. You're the biggest club in that country.
Is it?
And there's a pressure that comes with that. And so you need players who have the certain outlook and mental strength to be able to deal with that kind of pressure. It's all relative. And so when you then move, when you're a player who's spent 10 years or whatever it was at Man United, where you get an understanding of what's necessary to win, you then go and manage, yes, at a smaller scale,
Man United.
But you get that experience at a club that has that kind of pressure. Him moving from there to Man United, I don't think it's the same blueprint.
Harry Redknapp always say, just got to have the players.
No, but that's
just
the thing.
Just got to have the players.
I reckon right now, everyone's feeling motivated, morale's high. But what about when morale isn't high? How is he gonna go up then?
Well, you don't know. You might.
Would he bring in the summer?
You've got the thing is, Tanvi, it doesn't matter. You've got. He's come in and done absolute wonders. He's got big results against some very good teams. That performance against Chelsea, I watched it and I texted Sam Peoples afterwards, and said, look, mate, you've got to give Solskjaer a job. And he said, don't worry, your manager's safe. And I said, fuck you, he's not going there.
So that mafia boss.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Because that performance is so accomplished.
And do you know what? And tactically it was accomplished.
Was.
As well.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say, the one caveat I would say with that game in particular is Chelsea have been found out. They have been totally found out.
What
and they are so stubborn. Let's move on to Chelsea. So actually, go on. What are you feeling when it comes to Man United Liverpool this weekend? We haven't spoken about Liverpool much. Apologies for that. But look, you're doing well. You've got a good squad. What I'm intrigued to see what team you play.
I mean, we've done loads on Liverpool over the last couple of years.
We have. And actually, there's a video on Monday with Chris and the three key men for Liverpool in the title race. And it's not the three you're thinking of. So what, go and check that out.
What's the ISIS girl name?
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
What's her name? You said it.
Begum,
right? Someone on Twitter said, what would you rather have? Begum come back into the country or Liverpool win the league?
Begum back in the country?
By 60%.
Liverpool going to win the league, by the way, just so you know.
I don't think so.
Did a video on it and it's like science. I went through the fixtures. You're finishing second.
Oh.
Joint second.
With
so actually you're third. And Liverpool going to win the league by 6 points. Heard it first.
How many? All right. I think it's going to be a 1-1.
What are you thinking? Tanvir, what are you thinking?
2-1 United.
2-1 United.
What do you think?
In that video, I said that Man United win this game. So I think they will win this
game. What's Paycheck's face?
No, not in that video. In the video I did on my channel. Right. Chelsea versus Man City. Whiffs of Arsenal Man City last year in the League Cup, doesn't it? Man City looking good, flying, banging in the goals, winning games. Arsenal then really struggling with the manager. Looks like he's probably going to go.
In the League Cup?
In the League Cup
did
final
Arsenal
last
win?
Year. Yeah, they won 3... No, Man City won 3-1 last year. This year, Chelsea playing... and also, the route to the final. I think Arsenal beat Chelsea in the semi-final last year. Right. Chelsea beat your lot in the semi-final this time. So, are Chelsea in crisis? Here's a few things that may happen in the next few months. Eden Hazard will confirm Chelsea's worst fears and asked to join Real Madrid, which I think we're all starting to think that's a coming. FIFA could hit Chelsea with a transfer ban. Apparently they've found like 100 examples of them being a bit naughty when it comes to...
Underage players,
not like that. Like just trying to offer them jobs and stuff.
How do you know?
Yeah, it's all up for grabs at the moment. Wrong choice of phrase. UEFA will ban thousands of their fans from the Europa League because of the racism stuff. And Antonio Conte still hasn't been paid after leaving, so he might take them to court.
Excellent.
And you've got an owner who doesn't want to be in the country anymore.
And
are they in crisis?
And you've got a manager's job that no one would really want, really, in their right mind. Like, what self-respecting manager is going to want to go to Chelsea with an impending transfer ban? The fact that you could get sacked at any minute. You could win a league and an FA Cup and then get sacked the next season. So why and the you know one of the best prospects in British football wants away,
yeah.
And do you know what? It kind of feels like they deserve it.
Do you know what?
They've been very horrible over.
So this is my bias. Like you know, I don't like
when you
I don't
let
like
a black man on a train. This is the shit that comes back.
That happens,
karma.
Train was full.
The train was full.
The train apparently. Was full. There's no room for him.
So look, we could be talking in a week going. Great spirit from Chelsea.
Football moves
beat
fast.
Malmo.
Football moves
beat
fast.
Man City. Beat Spurs. And
yeah,
then all
that's
sorts
the calm
can happen.
Take. Calm take.
That is the calm take here. My see, look, I'm not a Chelsea fan. You know that, Flav. People know that as well. But I really, and maybe I'm just going because I want morals to play a part in football. I do feel like this is a lot of negative running of a football club coming home to roost. Especially with the manager situation, like Chelsea fans will be going, oh, what about? So they're starting to turn to Frank Lampard. They're starting to think about Jose Mourinho coming back. They're starting to, and then some people are going, what about Zinedine Zidane? Zinedine Zidane? Do you think he'll touch Chelsea with a barge pole? No way. And the reason why that's happening, and the reason why you've got a group of players, and this is the phrase that I don't like this phrase, the kids saying that they're downing tools. The bottom line is you don't know if the manager's going to make it through a season. And maybe that works at Real Madrid, where players are so desperate to stay at Real Madrid because it's Real Madrid that they will still kind of put in that effort from a selfish point of view. At Chelsea, I don't think there's the same feeling because they don't have that, you know, same history that, that Real Madrid have. So now you've got a manager. I feel sorry for Sarri to a point. He's been way too stubborn. And I'm intrigued to see what he does in that Chelsea-Man City game because if he plays Jorginho on his own again...
Of course he will. He won't change his system.
He has to change it now.
No, because he doesn't react in-game. He doesn't react... He doesn't change the system. He doesn't change his formation. He replaces like-for-like players all the time.
True.
Like...
I just... But it's so obvious. It's such a clear blueprint that it doesn't work. So that on that level, you've got to give Sarri... You have to have a go at Sarri for it. Because if he does... Nothing changes by staying the same.
I would suggest that he's got to go. Definitely got to go. He needs to be sacked immediately.
But you're never going to get anywhere. I don't think Sarri's a bad manager. Conte is not a bad manager.
No, but the shit that
Scolari wasn't a bad manager. Ancelotti wasn't a bad manager.
The shit that Sarri's saying is alarming. That's the problem here. Not the results. Not the way he manages his team. The stuff is coming out of his mouth. You're thinking, Jesus, there's a lot wrong there.
But the problem is, when you go out and say, attack the players, then you better get a reaction next couple of games. And he hasn't got it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But where are Chelsea going to be in a year's time? If Hazard's gone, you've got a transfer ban, and Sarri's gone as well. Who's going to be the manager? And when are they going to look? Because for a long time, Rory said it loads of times. He goes, well, look, it's about trophies. We're a ruthless club, but we win trophies. But
so that's all well and good when you're winning trophies.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a comment in the podcast last week, going, look, 22 trophies or something, is it 12 years or something like that? Or 21 years, something like that. Which, look, that's amazing. Yeah, but that's... Maybe I'm wrong here, let me know. It's coming to the end of that.
Financial fair play is...
Sorry, last thing. Unless you change your policy on the youth players that you're bringing through and you give a manager... 2 years minimum. Or the expectations drop so much that it'll get back to that point where Emery's getting that a little bit now. The expectations drop so much that finishing fifth or fourth, getting to the Champions League, they're buzzing with that again. It almost needs to drop so to such depths for Chelsea in comparison to what they're used to for a manager to be given a chance again.
I mean, the thing is, Chelsea aren't a ginormous football club. They are not Man United. They are not Real Madrid. You know, this success of the last 15 years has given them a much larger fan base, but they're, say, comparable to Tottenham, maybe, in revenue. I can't imagine the revenues are that different. They spend much more on wages. So
yeah. I saw an amazing thing about the amount of money that it costs for a Premier League win based on different teams throughout their whole time in the Premier League. Everton's was one of the best. Despite all the money they've ploughed in recently, for a Premier League win for Everton, it's about £3 million cost them. They've spent over their period in the Premier League, they've spent coming up to £1 billion on wages. Mm. Chelsea have spent £2.6 billion. They've won trophies, so like fair enough. But the amount of money that they've thrown at it is not the amount of money that it's not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable, and you can't do it with financial fair play. And in order to spend that kind of money, you need to generate it. So you need it's a base on income. So, you know, if they can no longer spend freely just to guarantee success or give them best chance of success, then what are they? They're a club without much identity at the moment. That's chopped and changed. That's brought in players that don't really care about the club. And, you know, you could argue that most people would do it. But obviously Pochettino, and I only bring back to Spurs each time because that's what I know. Pochettino talks so much about spirit and that people, the players having the right mental attitude. Whereas at Chelsea at the moment, it just seems like they don't. Hazard seems like he's playing for himself or he wants out. And they created that. They created that sort of soulless sort of lack of identity.
Yeah.
They created it by the way they went about their success. And now, like you said, the chickens are coming home to roost somewhat. Just giving you a 15-minute warning.
Okay.
Have we got enough time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we can rattle. We can rattle through.
Well, a 10-minute warning.
Oh, wow. Stick around. This could get hectic. So we will have to move on because I want to get to three. Three from the community. So what are you thinking when it comes to the League Cup final, very quickly?
I am saying Man City 5-0. Pumping.
Ouch.
And all those sad little Chelsea fans getting up and crying. They beat us 5-0. Come on.
I'm going to go 4-0. Free from the community then. Front Post Football, thank you very much. I tweeted this out, so if you want to get involved, then let us know what kind of things you want us to talk about. Front Post Football. Most overrated footballer from 2000 onwards. I'm going to chuck three out that top of my head. Yeah. Let me know in the comments below. Shevchenko came from AC Milan. He was supposed to be the nuts. He was awful.
Terrible.
Robinho, bit disappointing, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that's like hyped, but then turned shit. It's not overrated. People still consider to be overrated.
But no, but people overrated what they were going to do, and then they were.
Yeah, okay.
So that's where I came from. Different people have different criterias. And one from Craig in the office, Lukaku.
Yeah, but he's gender-ridden, isn't he? There. R. Craig.
Racist. racist. Is there any? Oh, you had one. Go on.
Well, I can't remember.
Declan Rice, you said.
Yeah, a bit of a myth, that kid, isn't he?
Thing.
Don't know.
Chris Sutton said he's better than Eric Dyer now. That's been confirmed.
He's a better player than Eric Dyer. What? Why?
Technically better.
What? But why?
More physically imposing.
Why did he choose Eric Dyer?
Because it's a similar kind of position.
He reminds me of Eric Dyer when Eric Dyer first kind of broken and had that purple patch.
Right. But you think he's overrated, do you?
I don't think he's had time, really, if I'm being honest, to be.
Right, we had 10 minutes in that. Right.
Go on.
Okay, Johnny, actually, we can't do three. I'll just read out his tweet. Johnny says this: are Chelsea fans overreacting at Sarri's poor performance? If you gave them fifth and a cup final at the beginning of the season, I reckon they'd have taken that. They knew how long it would take to rebuild. Interesting, we've spoken about Chelsea, though.
We talked about them being title challengers at the start of the season when
they were playing well, weren't they? And Villo Hit T says: Marco Silva, stay or go? Flav likes him. In my opinion, Everton create a lot of chances, but no striker to convert them.
Get him out.
Get him out. Yeah, wow.
Get Allardyce back. They're right. They need a number nine desperately and a good one, not Tosson and Calvert-Lewin.
Richarlison doesn't want to play central. He wants to play on the wide and cut in. There's been a lot of mistakes at that club, but a lot of them initially you would have thought, like say Steve Walsh, he'd done really well at Leicester. Then he came in and he thought he would be good as a director of football, but it's not worked. And Allardyce, that was stupid. Probably should have stuck with Ronald Koeman. Too much pressure on him, maybe. Who knows? Let me know in the comments below. You know more than me, Everton fans. Niche rules. Conrad's back. Got another. No, I don't think this is true. Just say, give me true or not, right?
Right.
Conrad Ostrowski, twice in the podcast. Incredible. I've got another niche fact for you this week. Under the original rules of association football, if a crowd remains absolutely silent throughout the entire game, the result doesn't stand. Bollocks in it. Lovely! Last week we asked you this. I won 49 caps for my country, scoring 5 goals. During my career, I played in Scotland, England, Brazil, Spain, and Australia, and in England. The only trophy I won was the League Cup. I am also a World Cup winner. Who am I? Few people got this. First person I saw that got it was direct message. The answer was Janinho. This week we asked you this. I was born in. This is tough. I was born in 1986 and I am a midfielder. I played in England between 2011 to 2014 and then again 2015, 2018. I played in the 2016 FA Cup final. I also played for my country at the Euro 2012, Euro 2016 and 2014 World Cup. Who am I?
Is it Diarra?
No.
I got a quick message from Adam Rosenbaum. Something didn't manage to get across on the...
Cool.
On the phone, he says, back in your shit little box. If I see you at the game, I'll lob you off the bridge. Pass it off and tea.
Lob you off the bridge? What bridge?
Is there a bridge there?
I don't know. Who would know? Yeah, there is a bridge. Right. Because time is against us, do we go straight to Flames' advice? I've got you get your bits out for the lads, which let's save that for next week. Got a new get your bits out for the lads. Actually, you can help us with this. So this is what he wants for next week. Jad Hadir, like this one. You guys should do a shag, marry, kill football theme. Of course, each one of you tells the other one. So you guys, let us know in the comments below. Shag, marry, kill. We'll answer a few next week.
Out of me, Tanvir and Jim, shag, marry, kill. Let us know in the comments below.
That's good, that. Faceless. No one knows what Tanvir looks like.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nah, they won't. You're well liked.
So do you want Flames advice or do you want footballers' wangs? There are a couple of footballers' wangs.
Is there?
Yeah, but we could say...
Let's see Flames' advice the next week, because I haven't got time for that.
Okay. Oh, no Flames' advice, I'd be fuming.
Yeah, but we'll do double next week.
Okay. Footballers Wangs, Anthony Bax, made this very good point. I'm surprised that Footballers Wang segment is not called Wang for the Weekend. Fair point.
Yeah.
But we have two Wangs this week.
That would have been clever.
Back with full force. Joe Hughes says this. I'm a Liverpool fan. This all happened a few years ago. I went for a night out after the Liverpool QPR game. I feel like I've read this before. Anyway, Carragher's last game for us at Kingdom, best club in the world. Oh, sorry, in Liverpool. I badly needed a shit. So I made my way to the other side of the club where the toilets were situated. I sat down and began to let it all out. I heard the door to the toilets open and someone beginning to have a piss. Suddenly, the loudest fart I've ever heard in my 26 years rang through the toilets, burning my nostrils. I finished my shit and opened the cubicle, only to see Daniel Agger enjoying a long piss. I accidentally took a slight look at his wang.
Accidentally.
Accidentally. Nonsense. A picture I've never managed to get out of my head. And then he doesn't say if it's big or not. I'd imagine it's like... Do you know often you just think, oh, his willy's the same shape as him. It's like Daniel Agger should be really long. And then quite thin. Lots of tattoos on the side of it. And second footballer's wang, we are treating you this
week. What is it about men that go in the toilets and just think it's fine to let rip? Like, especially in football. Like, doesn't happen anywhere else. It's the minute you get in the toilets.
I would say, though, that 70% of my wheeze lead to me wanting at least to fart. Or maybe hold it in. There is a kind of, there's a release there, isn't there? So often it can. Owen, 1417, footballer's wangs. The year was 2016 on a cool spring afternoon. Good to know. I went to a five-a-side tournament at the fortress that is Carrow Road, which, as you know, is home to the mighty Canaries. When we arrived, we were greeted by a club legend, Grant Holt. But this would not be the last time we saw him. Oh, no. He was playing for another team there on the day, and they clearly had an unfair advantage. But the result of this tournament is irrelevant. However, not the same can be said about this one man's trouser snake.
Oh, yeah.
Our team all got in the showers after our last game, and in walked the man himself, Mr. Grant Holt. And as all of our eyes locked on with what I can only describe as a weapon of ass destruction, there was an overwhelming feeling of inadequacy in the showers for the rest of the day. How long was he in the shower? One of my friends could have swore he saw it peeping out of the bottom of his shorts during one of the games as well. So Grant Holt has a big body as well.
Good.
Oh, Joe, last thing just to say. I'll leave it here because the guy with the gay friend.
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave this hanging as well and we'll have to give the advice next week. But just to explain the situation, because we said at the start of the podcast we're going to offer that up. Okay. Brett Oxford, he said last week that there was you know, a love thing going on. So I just wanted to update guys. Bit of a cliffhanger for next week, okay? All right, lads, just checking in. Not going to lie, I need help here. I can't handle the situation alone. So the lay of the land is this. I've done a lot of work already. Well done. Me and the said girl have been on a couple of dates, including quite a successful one on Valentine's Day, where we became quite close. Everything between us two seems to be running along smoothly. Great news, Brett. However, her mate, who I will clarify is a bloke.
Jay Ben.
Gay Ben.
That's his name.
Is that what you're gonna call him? Yeah. Gay Ben, okay. Has found out and really doesn't like our situation. Now, initially, I just thought this bloke's a bloody tosser, ain't he? However, I've learned a big piece of information from a third party, which has just sent me up shit creek without a paddle. Turns out, the reason this guy doesn't want me and his mate together is because he fancies me. So Gay Ben fancies Brett.
Yeah.
Gay Ben.
That's fine.
Now I will clarify, nothing wrong with that, each to their own. Thank you. But he's trying to spread...
Just don't come in my face with it.
Yeah. But he's trying to spread butter with a spoon here, lads. It's just not happening. That was all right. Now, he's extremely, extremely close with the girl in question. And so if I'm going to commit to this girl, I'm going to have to bear the friend. And knowing what I know, I'm not sure I could manage it. The girl herself is gorgeous and we click well. but he is showing no signs of leaving, and I actually don't know what to do here. To add to this, I found out through subtle conversations with the girl that he tried to tell her not to try for a relationship with me because he couldn't see us together. I'm honestly stuck because, knowing what I know about this bloke, I'm not sure I could spend all the time around him. I'd have to if I got with her. Any opinions or advice would be appreciated. Love the pod, lads. Keep it up.
Just do one of them.
And on that note.
Just like.
That's your advice, is it?
Just like that.
What's he doing with that? Is he holding her hand with the other one?
No, he's just got that limp. Just hanging there.
Where's the girl?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Brett will give you some proper advice next week, but we just wanted to update the community. Guys, get involved. Let us know your thoughts on this situation and on Flav's behaviour in the comments below. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're new to the podcast, subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review and a rating. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Like this video.
Bye.
And we'll see you next week. Sorry.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.